back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. I want to point that song out.
Well, it's very disturbing.
This is a great band. This is a band called Bring Me the Horizon. I suggest you buy this this entire ensemble of songs, if you will, almost as if it's a wardrobe of clothing, and put it on and steep yourself in it.
And then what, cut my wrists?
Yeah, that's very judgmental.
I would wind up slitting a wrist if I listened to that.
Well, I think it's brilliant music. It's tortured. That particular song is very tortured. All right, welcome back. We have Bob Green on the line with us as we continue talking with Bob about the Banksters. And I say Banksters because I know that Bob is probably has a decidedly different opinion on this. Bank of America, ladies and gentlemen, was found liable for the mortgage fraud of Countrywide. One of Countrywide's executives will most likely be going to jail. I know I gave my opinion last hour on the whole psychopath thing.
Which, I want to jump in, Bob, and say that Phil's not a psychiatrist.
Well, that's a very good point, Margaret, and I appreciate you bringing that up.
I know I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not saying that I am. It's just my opinion. You know, you don't have to be a fireman to know that a house is on fire. Okay?
Well, that's the standard excuse that people give when...
Well, I think Margaret's point is that before we start calling people psychopaths, and before we start calling people psychotic, and we start calling them pyromaniacs and perverts and everything else that you want to call them...
I'm not calling them pyromaniacs. No, I'm not saying anything. I said psychopath. That's a very specific thing.
Well, that's fine, but she made the point that you're not a psychiatrist. Now, that's not to say that you can't have an informed opinion. I agree. But I want to get back to this story I was telling about my brother-in-law, Stan, my brother, Stan, who had borrowed his $10,000 from me. He said he needed it for a business investment. He proceeded to go to Las Vegas. This was following the debacle with the food concession that he was involved in. He went to Las Vegas. He was there from January of 2007 until, around June or July of 2007. Las Vegas police found him wandering the strip at about 4 o'clock in the morning. He was down near the Four Corners, and he had just gone into the Barbary Coast and played, I think, one or two games of craps before he walked out and began to stagger down toward the desert, and that's when the Vegas police took him. They put him in for a 72-hour hold, and he said to me what he really needed was this $10,000 to get this taco... to get this taco stand going.
Hold on for just a minute, because what I'm hearing here...
This is a very involved story.
Yeah, of course it's an involved... He's my brother, and I love my brother. He's, keep in mind, he's got an MBA, Phil, from the University of Southern California. So let's not...
I thought you said he went to Cal State.
He went to Cal Fullerton, and he got his MBA at USC.
Okay.
And by the way, a USC MBA is as valuable as any you're going to get from Harvard, and I will go toe-to-toe with anybody on that. Thank you.
Those are some pretty tall words.
All right. I don't want to argue which is a better business. Harvard has the reputation. I understand that Southern California's got a great reputation, certainly when it comes to West Coast business.
No. Not just West Coast business. The whole, as my father used to say, the whole Megillah. Did you ever see that show when you were a kid, Megillah Gorilla? We've got a gorilla for sale. Megillah Gorilla for sale.
Yeah, I saw that on a Cartoon Express just the other day.
Right. You remember that, Phil?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Now, my father used to say the whole Megillah. And,
So what is that? That's when he would say the whole Megillah what?
That's what he'd say. He'd say the whole Megillah meant everything. And I think USC's got the best business school.
On all of the Megillah Gorilla.
No, not the Megillah Gorilla, of the whole Megillah. The Megillah Gorilla's got nothing to do with it. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, I'm sorry you did too, but it's not. Megillah Gorilla is a cartoon character, okay?
No, I know that. I know how to read. Yeah, I've seen Megillah Gorilla too.
Okay, fine. So you guys know it's a cartoon character.
Yeah, why, but that's...
Megillah, they call it Megillah for the very reason that Mr. Green is talking. The word Megillah means all, everything, okay?
Now,
what do you mean, well? That's exactly what it means.
Well, Bob, you have to understand that Robert and Bud go their own way on these things. They make up their own minds in due time.
Well, they can make up their own minds if they want to, and they'll be left standing on the platform when the Bob Green... Excuse me. when the Bob Green Express leaves town. So what's the point? What are you laughing at?
The Bob Green Express? I didn't know...
What do you have? Is that the...
The Bob Green... In other words, when I'm here to talk to you about business. Isn't that what you asked me to come on the show about?
Yes, sir.
All right, then get on board or stand there on the platform like some guy on a cream of wheat box.
That's not necessary, Bob.
Well, then let's get it together here. I'm making some statements here.
All right, that's fine, but that's not necessary. So let's get off the topic of MBAs and get back to where we were, which is your brother Stan. You know, with all due respect, you're talking about Bud and all these guys. Your brother Stan is the guy that wound up staggering in through the desert, having lost... Did he already lose your $10,000?
No. He lost the 10 grand that he borrowed from his wife, from Sissy's parents, and got into some trouble with cocaine use. And got into some gambling trouble, and they put him in for a 72-hour psychiatric hold. He gets out, he calls me up, he says, I don't know what I'm going to do.
How old was he at this time?
Stan, at that time, he was 31. Right now, he's 35, so it was 4 years ago.
And he's doing great in Atlanta?
Yeah, but hold on, I'm going to tell you how he got there. So Stan says to me, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know, you're the guy that was in a padded cell, because I'm looking at him through glass. And you have to understand, I don't think, Phil, I don't know how many people in your audience know what it's like to stare at your own brother through a pane of glass, and behind him is a guy about 6'3", and he's holding that jacket. He's holding a straight jacket with the leather belts. And he's holding it so that Stan can't see it, because his back is to the guy, but he's holding it so I can see it. And he's shaking it, as if to say, you better keep this guy's brains inside of his skull, because I would like nothing better than to slip him into this ensemble here.
Why would he be warning you?
You're saying that the attendant is shaking the jacket at you.
That's exactly right.
God almighty, that sounds like just the most inconsiderate place.
Well, it's a very, very good psychiatric facility, Phil. It was the county psychiatric facility there in Las Vegas, which I think is one of the best. If you think about it, Las Vegas, Nevada has to handle a very high percentage of individuals who lose control of their, literally of their minds, because they've lost all their money, or they can't have enough sex. You know, there's too many willing prostitutes, and they lose their minds sexually.
What do you mean they lose their minds sexually? What does that mean?
It means you're a man, you go to Las Vegas, and there are so many women to have sex with that you lose your mind. I mean, this happened to people that I know.
That sounds kind of strange, but okay, go ahead. I've heard of people getting STDs.
No, not STDs. I'm talking about going to Vegas and seeing that there is so much freedom, so much fun, so much sex, and so much gambling that you're driven mad by it. That's all I can say.
All right, so we have your brother. Do you think that's what happened to your brother?
Oh, I have no doubt, yeah.
All right, so we have your brother in a holding, in a lockup, in a psychiatric lockup. You go to visit him. So, folks, what we're talking about here is the countrywide...
Well, Phil, this is my brother, you know.
I understand. I got to take another break. Hold on, Bob.
Oh, would you people get it?
Robert Green, what did he just say?
He said we should get it together.
Well, Bob, I want to get it together here, man, but I'm supposed to be talking about the countrywide mortgage fraud, and I'm on his brother in a 72-hour psychiatric lockup.
Yeah, it's going along pretty good.
I think it's going along pretty good, Senator.
Oh, sure, yeah, it's just following a very logical path. What are you talking about, man?
Well, let's see where it goes.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. All right, we are seeing where it goes, as Margaret said. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as Robert Green talks with us about his, about his brother, Stan. We're going to find out more about that, and we're also going to find out where the real culprit lies. Where's the real problem when it comes to these mortgage frauds, when it comes to these mortgage problems? Was it the law? Was it the system itself? In other words, not the system. Was it the legal freedom? Or was it that the system itself, the law was good, the system itself was just too prone to manipulation and fraud? World famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-850-7445, 855, what did I say? 855-500-7445. That's it.
What is it again?
Eight five.
Yeah, what is it? I'm writing it down.
eight. Never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
855 of it.
World famous Phil Henry Show back here from the El Pacifico on this Thursday. What is this? Wednesday night. And coming up this weekend on Sunday, of course, we have our game of the week with Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman. I will be at the San Francisco Sketch Festival. I'm going to give you the dates for that, doing a one-man show. As a matter of fact, it's going to be sort of a rollout for our one-man show. That will be the San Francisco Sketch Festival. It will be in January, and I'll give you the specific dates for that. I've also been invited to be a narrator on Drunk History, and that's a funny show, no question about it. I just don't know if I can get as hammered as I see some of these guys get, you know, the narrators.
Well, that one guy, Phil, the Duncan Tussle, was that his name?
Yeah.
He's throwing up into the toilet. I don't know.
Well, in any event, there's some things ahead.
So you're going to get drunk and you're going to go do a sketch? Are you going to get drunk on a sketch festival?
No, I ain't getting drunk on a sketch festival. We'll let you know what's going on, folks. All right, so 855-500-7445. Robert Green has joined us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, as we continue talking to Bob about the countrywide mortgage fraud. All right, let's get to the gist of the story here, Bob, about your brother Stan.
All right, I didn't know that I was sidetracking you. I mean,
well, no, you're not. But we've got him in a psychiatric facility.
Well, all of this is to say that he asked me for $10,000 to invest to keep this taco. It was a taco stand of some kind.
A taco stand.
You said this is a portable concession.
Yes, it was one of these portable concessions that would be in front of the courthouse there in Los Angeles, in the city of Los Angeles. And it was tacos and, you know, tamales and this kind of thing. And I said, okay, and he put that up his nose.
So I just want to be clear.
You know, the reason why we're not getting, excuse me, I shouldn't say, it's your show.
No, go ahead.
Well, you keep interrupting me.
Yeah, but you gave him $10,000.
Give the guy $10,000, he's in a nut bin.
Excuse me, my brother was not in a nut bin.
All right, Bud, let me. But essentially, that's the point.
You gave him $10,000 while he was in a padded cell?
I did not say a padded cell, did I?
You said that there was an attendant standing behind him.
Yes, that's true.
With a straitjacket.
I don't know what kind of jacket it was. It had leather belts, it had hooks, and the attendant was shaking it up and down with a sort of a half smile on his face.
What the heck?
You know, I don't need this. This, you know, I had real reservations about coming on this rotten show.
Oh, man, that really pisses me off.
Well, Phil...
No, don't well Phil me. This guy's talking about his brother being inside of a soft room. There's an attendant standing behind him shaking a straitjacket. Oh, no, not a straitjacket. It's got belts and hooks, and the guy had a half smile on his face. And I'm not supposed to say soft room, and we're not supposed to say that his brother was in a nut hatch, but this guy has given him $10,000 while he's inside that room. And this is after the Las Vegas police found him wandering in the desert.
They found him down the strip a little bit, on the edge of the desert. It wasn't wandering in the desert.
I heard that. Did I not hear this man say the desert?
That's what he said, was right. He said his brother Stan was wandering in the desert in LA and a San Francisco, Las Vegas... Or
Las Francisco. The Las Vegas police picked him up and put him in for a 72-hour hold.
All right. And what's your problem with that?
I got no problem with it. I got no problem at all with it. The question that I asked Bob, why did he give it, and you did too, let the record show you did too.
All right.
That he gave his brother $10,000... to start a taco stand.
Well, the taco stand had already been started up, but then it failed.
So that's another thing. The taco stand had started up, had failed, and he's hitting his brother up for another 10 G's to keep it going or to resurrect it or something, right? And, okay, fine, you know, you understand, a guy wants to keep a business going, all right, fine, it's a risk. No, he doesn't take the money and put it into the taco stand, which sounds like an absolutely stupid idea for any kind of a street vendor, if you want my honest opinion.
And why is that, Phil? Now, see, that's racist. That is racist.
Why is that racist?
Why can't a taco guy, you know, you call him a taco bender if you want. Why can't a taco bender...
Hey, whoa, taco bender? You know, you realize that That's considered a vituperative racial slur.
That is, my Gray.
Oh, you guys, why don't you go ahead and stick the other one up there? Are you kidding?
Stick the other one up there?
Yes, it's a call. You guys say shake the other one, see if there's bells on it. We, as women, we say put the other one up there. Or stick it in... Never mind. You know what? I'm going... Where are the tampons again?
Yeah, she's got to change tampons, bud.
Get in the upper drawer.
And I don't need your sarcasm at all.
Upper drawer and an extra thick.
And I don't need you telling me that they're extra thick. God, both of you, I would love to have ringside seats for when they stick the two of you on a spit.
You keep on laughing, you know.
Well, what else can a guy do, man? I've been doing this nutball show for however long, and all I can do is laugh. Did you get him back?
Yeah, I got Mr. Green, and he said he's sorry for hanging up, but he didn't know what else to do. He was emotional, and he felt very emotional.
Okay, hey, Bob?
Yeah, Phil?
I apologize if I offended you.
No. I apologize for hanging up on you. I found myself revisiting that day that I saw Stan in the lockup, and that goon stood behind him with the big fat grin on his face, like, you know.
I understand. So, you gave him the 10 grand, and he didn't pay you back.
He didn't pay me back. And I was out 10 grand. But I'm going to tell you something right now, and this is the lesson for our government, for Obama, and the rest of these touchy-feely liberals that want everything to have government control, everything to have the government approval, the stamp of approval. I'm surprised we don't have the official Barack Obama seal of approval, like a big O, just blank. And then you go to whatever authority and you say, see, I've got my big O. You know, Phil, it's not, I don't think it's coincidental that if we were to see a Barack Obama stamp of approval, it'd be a big fat zero.
No, wouldn't it be an O?
No, that's what a zero is. It's an O.
But Bud's technically right. It's an O. It's not a zero.
No, it isn't. No, not in the world that I envision, not the world I'm living in. It's a zero, believe me. And I can tell you, Phil...
No, let me just stop you for a second, okay?
I think that this country's in serious trouble if they think they're going to get away with this.
Hold on. Are you telling me that countrywide shouldn't have been adjudicated guilty and that B of A shouldn't be liable?
I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is the more of these cases and the more of these verdicts, the fewer and fewer people are going to be like myself. If I ran a bank...
No, wait, hold on. Are you telling me that was a good loan you made?
Wait, can I say something, please? Or are you just going to keep talking?
Yeah, there's no need to be rude, Bob.
I apologize, but I'm trying to... I lent my brother that $10,000. He didn't pay me back. He put it up his nose. Okay? All right?
Then shouldn't you have made... some kind of a contingency...
Whoa, there's sunshine. Would you hold on for a minute? Can you hold on for a minute?
Yeah.
I lent my brother $10,000. He went right out. I mean, no sooner did I lend him that $10,000 that he drove his car one half of a block to this Mary was the name of this broad. Excuse my language. This young lady. She had a condominium over there in the Dapple area. One half of a block. He scored. I don't know how many. You know, quarter ounces, and there it began. So within, I'd say, a good 2 minutes of me handing him the check, he got down to this chick's house, and I guess had her put a bunch of this stuff on the cuff until he could cash the check.
And he was snorting cocaine.
And he was snorting cocaine.
Okay, so my point is this: isn't that your fault?
No. What? Where do you get that? He said to me that he wanted it for a business, didn't he?
Yeah, no. Yes, he did say that.
All right, so where are you getting that it's my fault? And this is the problem that we have. I lent him the money because he needed it for a business. He lied to me, or something happened between the time he got that check and the time he finally made the decision to visit this Mary, whoever or whatever she is, and go ahead and pack his nose. I don't know what happened to him, but I think that would bear some investigation.
Bob, I, you're a very good businessman. I understand that, and I respect that, but I think you're looking at this real... Here comes Margaret now.
Yes, here comes Margaret. I was listening in the toilet. And forgive me, Bob, but I am having a very difficult...
You got a heavy flow, is what she said.
You are a filthy...
Hey, watch it! No. You do that! Oh, did you? Yeah, get out. Get out of here.
Get him out of here, Robert.
What's going on?
Just get him out of here. Bob, hold on for a minute. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know. We'll be back talking with Robert Greene here about the thing that happened, the countrywide thing that happened, you know. And we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show this Wednesday night, 855-500-7445. Robert Greene on the line with us. We've had a little bit of contention. We're talking about countrywide. We're going to take some of your phone calls here at 855-500-7445. And it's been slightly contentious because, Bob, it's a very unusual story you're telling me about your brother. But I'd like to get to the nuts and bolts, if we could.
That's exactly what I want to do.
All right. So your brother borrows this money from you. He doesn't pay it back. He doesn't use it for the business loan. Instead, he uses it for other purposes. We don't even have to get into, why he used it.
Well, that's what I would have preferred. I gave you the background because I thought that I would be accused of holding back. I'd rather not talk about it because it's not relevant.
Well, how do you feel that's not relevant, Bob? I'm sorry to interrupt, Phil. How do you feel it's not relevant that you give your brother $10,000 and he uses it to purchase cocaine, and he purchases this cocaine, not, in your words, not 2 minutes after borrowing this money?
My question would be this, Bob. When you gave him that $10,000, he had every intention of investing it in this business.
He had every intention of, look, let's call it what it is, Phil. I'm not, I realize that it was a silly investment, but I trust my brother. He had every intention of sinking it into a taco stand. A taco stand operating off of a street. So let's be clear what we're discussing here. We're talking about a taco stand with one of those umbrellas out on a sidewalk near the gutter, and you're expecting people to eat that, eat that food.
Well, yeah, you're expecting people to eat. I've purchased food from street vendors before. It's good food. I don't know how many hot dogs I've purchased, like in New York, for instance. So it's not necessarily. I'm not decrying it for that. You seem to think it's a bad investment.
Absolutely. I think it's a bad. No wonder it went under. Because if you're talking about food, you're serving up this slop from some bucket that you're heating with a propane, and the bucket is out on a street someplace. Now, the thoroughfares of America, Phil, are filled with all kinds of traffic, vehicular traffic, human traffic, some of the best people that we know, some of the brightest people that we know, and some of the worst, some of the lowest, forgive me for saying, some of the lowest garbage and scum that God ever allowed to live past the cradle, and you're serving food there? So,
Well, you gave him the money.
Bob, you gave him the money for this business.
Yes, I gave him the money. Because he promised to pay me back.
All right. You gave him the money, and he didn't pay you back.
Exactly.
Okay. So, therefore, what?
What I'm saying is, he made the promise to pay me back, and he didn't pay me back. He gave me his word that he'd pay me back.
But he didn't.
Exactly he didn't. Exactly he didn't. Are you telling me I shouldn't have paid him, that I shouldn't have given him money? This is at the crux of what we're talking about. When you have a company...
Well, Margaret here, when you... Countrywide, you're expecting Countrywide to pay people money...
Hold on, Margaret, because you're starting to panic a little bit.
I am not panicking.
All right, but you're... Just hold on. Countrywide had a bunch of people come to them and say, we want to buy a house. Okay. Are you going to pay it back? Yes. All right, sign this document.
Since when are we now operating a lemonade stand here, okay?
What's this we, okay? I don't see... you got a rocket in your pocket? This we. We're the ones, the people that lend the money.
All right, you know what? I've lent money, too. From what you're saying, this was a personal loan that you floated to your brother, and I've done that. That's not professional lending. That's just a brother to a brother or a friend to a friend. I'm talking about professional lending.
There's no difference, Phil, because we're talking about a business... Where you say, I got money, do you want it? Yeah. Are you going to pay it back? Yeah. Well, you didn't pay it back. Well, yeah, I didn't. Well, what are you putting me in jail for that for? You understand what I'm saying? Every last one of these deadbeats should be found and should be arrested and should be put in prison.
Bob, we are long past the days of debtor prison.
Well, you know something? Are we really? Because I see somebody going to jail, and they work for a bank.
That's not a debtor's prison. They're going to jail for fraud.
Well, it's the same thing. If you defraud a bank by not paying the bank back, why shouldn't you go to jail? This woman's going to jail. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give it to you as straight as I can. We would have more people paying back loans. We wouldn't have as many people taking out loans that they cannot pay back if the threat of a jail cell was in their future. If you have a jail cell, and let me tell you something else, Phil. If people could have seen my brother that day as that goon, that nuthouse goon that they hire, you know, they hire these guys who are 6'3", and they haven't got any medical training. They hire these guys because they're big, and they can sit on some guy that has flipped his lid and is ready to start eating the metal bars. They can sit on that guy until some doctor arrives with a syringe about the size of a banana and stick that in the guy's rear end and pump him so full of paraldehyde and thorazine that he staggers. He doesn't walk. He staggers through the next 8 months. Now, I am telling you, if you had that in your future, friend, you'd not only pay back your loan, you'd ask anybody else, do you have any loans you need paid back? Because I'll do it for you. That's how scared you'd be.
All right, so again, we're going back to the idea of debtor's prison.
Well, what is it with you people in debtor's prison?
They had debtor's prison back in the 19th century in the United States and in other countries. It didn't work then, and it won't work now.
What do you mean it didn't work then? What makes you think it didn't work then? It worked, but we just didn't have the jail space for them.
Well, all right. I we can argue this. You know, you do make one good point, and I will give you this. If you put bank executives in prison, why not put people in prison who don't pay back loans? There is a difference, however.
Well, what's the difference?
The difference is that when a man signs a paper and says, all right, I will pay this back, and finds himself financially unable to, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't look down the road and see that as a possibility, it is slightly different from someone intentionally and right out of the gate intending to defraud, intending to take the money and run, intending to...
Wait, hold on. What do you mean defraud? Did Countrywide close their doors and run? Did they hide? Did they change the name of the company? No, they were in business. They stood there for the whole world. They stood there and turned around and basically, as a company, stood there, turned around, dropped their pants, pointed to their rear ends, and said, have at it. We're still here.
Well, yes, they are still there, and this one executive is going to go to prison. I think more should go to prison.
Maybe. And maybe I agree with you, and maybe I think those people that ought to go to prison are the deadbeats that didn't pay back these loans. There's a... I don't know how many of them there are, but this woman today, this Rebecca, whatever her name is, excuse me for saying this, Phil, and I don't want to offend anyone's religious sensibilities, but... Once upon a time, when I was a little boy, my grandmother sat me down, and I was about to kneel down and say my prayers, and she said to me, Jesus died for our sins. And I think today, people across this country and possibly across this world can say, Rebecca Maroney is going to prison for our sins.
All right, so we got the Jesus analogy. I get it.
Well, hold on for a minute. The Jesus analogy, is that... The lady's going to prison, Phil. She's going to be inside. It's going to be caged heat. And I suggest that you see that film and understand what it is that Miss Maroney will be facing as she goes to prison because a lot of slobs, deadbeats, and a bunch of people, and let's face it, you know, a lot of minorities.
I'm sorry?
I said a lot of them.
Well, I can hear you're saying a lot of minorities.
Well, because they were trying to give loans to minorities.
Hey, man, you're pointing that out. Why are you whispering that?
I didn't mean to whisper it.
Yeah, you did. You're whispering it.
So now we have the racial component here, Bob, which is equally nefarious. It's specious. There's not enough There's
not enough what? Not enough languages? You need a new language to invent a word for? You want to call me a douchebag? Go ahead.
All right, you're a douchebag.
Yeah, that's good. That's English. You need, what do you got? How about Esperanto, bud? Get him a dictionary.
All right, look, you can be as smart-ass as you want, but the bottom line here is there's a law that's been violated. The woman's going to prison. You're telling me that this lady is dying for people's sins.
That lady's going to prison when a whole bunch of deadbeats ought to be going to prison. That's what I'm saying. I'm Bob Green, and I am the CEO of Fraser Foods. I employ a lot of people. I got a brother that's got a cocaine problem. Today, he's living a pretty good life in Atlanta. He has to stay close to his parole officer. But he's married. He's got kids. He's got a beautiful home. He's got a brand spanking new Mercedes. His wife's got they got matching Mercedes. He's got a beautiful home in Alpharetta. They've got a large riding stable for their daughter. She's taking horseback riding lessons. He's on his feet. And I thank God for that, because my brother deserves that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your brother's doing so well after two $10,000 loans that he couldn't pay back.
Well, that was to his father-in-law, who frankly deserved to get hosed a little bit, and the other was to me, and I deserved it because I should have known better. It's Stan. Stan has always been that way. My brother Stan is a lowlife. Everyone knows it. My mother knows it. My father knows it. I love him. I love him dearly. But he's a dirty lowlife, and one of these days they're going to find him in an alley with a knife in his chest.
Oh, my God. This is your brother?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
I'm just telling you, I love my brother. But they're going to find him in an alley with a knife sticking out of his chest.
And this is the guy that you just argued in favor of getting a $10,000 loan.
No, I said he promised to pay me back, and he didn't. That's why I think he's going to be found one of these days in an alley with a knife in his chest, another in his throat.
All right, okay, that's fine. Thank you very much, Bob.
Look, Phil.
Thank you.
That is unbelievable, the story that he... And to think that it's all okay with him.
Well, it's not okay with him. What he's saying that if you're going to put bankers in prison, then put the people who took the loans out in prison. But here's a guy that lent $10,000 to a brother that had already bombed out on a taco stand in front of the courthouse in downtown L.A. He gave him $10,000 to rehabilitate this business. Turns out he sticks that up his nose within about a half a minute of getting it. He's found wandering the desert. He's in a psychiatric hold. He gives him the money. And, and what else was going on with this guy?
Yeah, he's talking about how... that his brother promised to pay it back.
Yeah, that's Bob. He promised to pay it back. Why wouldn't I give it to him? He promised.
And he wants to put people like that in prison.
I don't know about the prison thing. The debtor's prison thing has been tried, mankind has long experience with debtor's prison. I don't know that it gets anybody to pay their bills. If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. You sure as hell cannot correct a gambling problem with prison, and that may be some of the problem that some people have. You can't correct, you can't correct someone losing their job, but I think that there probably should be, we have laws against defrauding institutions, and maybe some of those should be applied to some of the folks that took out these loans. I don't bloody well know. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Visit our online store at philhenryshow.com. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of things there for you to enjoy, from CDs to keychains to baseball caps to coffee mugs, two shot glasses, two hoodies, two T-shirts. It's all there, philhenryshow.com, in our online store. We'll be right back.
Or we might not be.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. All right, we have next hour. I've got some penance to do because of yesterday's whole contretemps, as I mentioned, concerning the 30th anniversary of the possibility of nuclear war. I butchered the whole thing six ways to sunset. Margaret, you guys have... don't do it to me.
God, man, look at it. I knew they were going to do it. I knew they were going to do it.
What are you talking about?
They just had a Reese's Mini commercial on TV. God, I love those.
Oh, would you buck up, Phil, and man up? What do you want to do? Go buy a bag of those after the show?
I'm telling you, I could sit down with two bags of those. It's bad. I love those things, man. I got some problem with I got an addiction to chocolate. I don't have an addiction to chocolate, but I love it so much, and it gives me a super headache. I got like an allergy to it. you know?
Yeah, that's like heroin, man. It's a good thing you don't have no heroin, like a heroin habit, because you'd be shooting up heroin even though it's bad for you.
Yeah, well, heroin is bad for you, but everybody shoot it up anyway.
Well, that's what I mean.
Well, you mean like alcoholism?
Yes, exactly. People drink alcohol even though it's bad for them. Why? Because they have that allergy, and you're the same way. You know what will happen to you when you eat chocolate, and yet, like a dirty, and excuse me, Phil, but like a crawling junkie, like a filthy crawling junkie, you know, you're...
Well, look at you with the half smile on your face.
Well, it is kind of... It's interesting. It fascinates me to think of you that way.
Oh, okay, Dr. Frankenstein.
How dare you?
Oh, give me a break. All right, so we have...
What does that mean, give you a break? What was I doing?
Well, you know, it fascinates you to see me like a dirty, crawling, stinking junkie. What's that mean?
Just the idea of you being weak and vulnerable. I don't know. I for a moment there, I was thinking of stepping on one of your eyes with my high heels. Isn't that... forgive me, Phil.
Wow.
Yeah, you need a doctor.
I said forgive me, but I...
But you fantasize about that?
When I see Phil acting all arrogant, I just, for a moment there, I had the idea that I wanted to step... I wanted to grind the heel of one of my high heels right into an eyeball.
You need a doctor.
No, I don't need a doc. It's no more destructive than any woman that wants to tie...
Yeah, I'm sure you probably... But you want to be beaten on the butt and have a... Ow!
Don't you talk to me like that.
Take it easy. All right, so coming up, we're going to be talking about the near-nuclear war and how I screwed things up, because I did get some things wrong there. Now, there's a little bit of news here, and I keep threatening to talk about this, and I never do. Whatever happened to that doctor that we used to have on the show that was the monkey specialist?
Yeah, that was a guy from Tupelo, Mississippi.
He had a primate research center in Tupelo, Mississippi, and he... His whole thing was studying monkeys. Anyway, this doesn't have anything to do with zoos, although we do not like zoos in equal with equal fervor to the distaste we have for circuses. But this is to L.A. City's credit. L.A. City, the City Council of Los Angeles, has banned the use of bullhooks on circus elephants. Now, during this meeting, which began at 10 a.m., the council voted unanimously to prohibit the use of ankus or bull hooks, which is a tool used by animal trainers at circuses to keep large elephants in line. This ban will be in effect in 2017. According to a council member, Paul Koretz, the hook has a sharp spike attached to it that activists believe is dangerous to the animals and say there are more humane means of controlling these animals. And let me just say, folks... you know, it's hard to take a stand on something like this and not have people judge you as some wild-eyed, liberal, activist, PETA freak, which I'm not. None of that stuff. I ain't none of that. I just like animals, and I also... I can't stand animals performing for the pleasure of humans when they are put through these torturous... kinds of procedures or methods, or they're kept in line. And you know, you got to understand something. I grew up in Arcadia, the home of Santa Anita Racetrack. I love thoroughbred racing, and I grew up with the belief, and I was taught, that thoroughbred horses are treated in a most humane way. Now, believe me, I'm willing to accept the truth about anything.
So you are willing to accept that if thoroughbred horses are proven to be treating the people, not the people.
Yeah, if the thoroughbred abuses a human.
If the thoroughbred abuses the human?
No, if the human...
All right, there it is. There it is, right there. If the human is ridden by a horse... Oh, for God's sake.
Well, you guys get it together. You're talking about if a horse is abusing a human, you're in favor...
No. If the horse is abused by a human...
Yes, if the horse is abused by the human.
Is that it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So you're willing to accept that if that's the case, if a thoroughbred horse is abused by a human, you will divest yourself of your interest in thoroughbred racing?
Yes, unless they change things drastically. I don't see anything wrong with a thoroughbred that... Keep something in mind, ladies and gentlemen, and this is what we have to remember. Horses are domesticated, okay? Horses are domesticated. That means that horses have generation after generation after generation been born into and grown up in the family of domesticated animals that humans have around them. So horses recognize the human animal as part of their natural environment. That's the same as dogs, that's the same as cats, that's the same as any domesticated animal. An animal that has a short enough lifespan whereby you can domesticate, you can breed them so that they become used to humans. This is the domestication of the horse took place 5,000 years ago. Okay, so it's been a long damn time. Same thing with cats, dogs, and others. We're not talking about that when we talk about circus elephants, when we talk about lions, when we talk about the big cats, when we talk about pandas. We're talking about wild animals that will always be wild and will always belong in the wild and will never, ever truly belong in captivity around human beings. That's what we're talking about.
Well, I'd love to talk about this more, but... See, you just squeezed through on that one.
No, I didn't. I know what I'm talking about. We'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. Just take a cigarette break, Margaret. You know, you can't win them all, okay?
Okay, Daddy.
Well, don't be so childish. You didn't win this one, you didn't win this one. That's just the way that it goes, man. I don't know what to tell you. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
What do you mean I didn't win this one?
Margaret, I got done telling you that if they are domesticated animals, it's different from if they're wild animals.
Yeah, you did, Margaret. You got beat it down.
Whatever. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
She keeps on. Now, say that again. If the horse is ridden by...
You're talking... Horses don't abuse humans. Humans abuse horses.
Oh.